Our first hour together is the Wintrust Business Lunch. I'm Bob Surratt.
And I'm Marianne Murciano. Happy Friday.
Yes, it is. And coming up, we'll get a rundown of some of the big concerts coming to Chicago. And let's see, Scott Kleinberg will be here to talk about social media business. Johnny Jett with some travel tips, all in this hour. First up, from the Tribune's Blue Sky Innovation, John Carpenter, and among other stories, you've been reporting on, John, some new tech gear for policemen. Later on this afternoon, we've got a guy who's in the business of flying drones around. We're going to have some in the studio here after, too. But this is part of the story on cool cop equipment, isn't it?
Yep. Motorola, I think, showed off a bunch of new gear. Obviously, there's a lot of technology that police can use, and drones is one of the more interesting ones. It's what caught my eye was the drone that can stay in the air with a camera for 2 days, which obviously for police doing surveillance, I mean, normally a surveillance like that would take many, many officers and wouldn't even give you the kind of view that a drone could give you. Drones also, I think, have a pretty interesting safety aspect for police where you could maybe get a look at something in a way that doesn't put an officer at risk. But there's a lot of cameras, data technology and things.
I'd love to know the more details about technically how that can work, because I mean, if it's a high crime area, if there's gang activity going on,
right,
and there's a little drone flying around, I mean, isn't somebody going to like just shoot it down or something?
Yeah, I think it depends on how high up it is and how easy it is to see. Certainly at night, it would be difficult. But yeah, that's one of the things that I thought of. Even now, if you go into some tougher neighborhoods, you see police helicopters, and that obviously they're way high up and they're not doing the same thing that drones would do. But yeah, I think drones is kind of an emerging area in a lot of ways, and certainly for police also.
And very controversial,
yeah.
Especially when it comes to how we're using them in the war on terror.
Right, right.
Let's talk a little bit about this dating site, OkCupid, and what they did that raised some eyebrows.
Yeah, actually, it's both what they did and then what they admitted doing. The CEO in a blog post, or the company in a blog post, admitted that OkCupid is one of these dating sites that uses algorithms to put people together. And they manipulated their results for some people to deliberately give them bad matches. And he explained this a way to test how effective their algorithm is, and said they didn't get any complaints and nobody was harmed. But it really raises the question, these data sites, I mean, Facebook got into a lot of trouble when people found out that they were doing experiments by sort of giving people bad news and gauging their emotional reactions. And it raises a lot of questions. I mean, these tech platforms are based on algorithms that analyze your personal data, and it's generally personal data that you provide willingly, but they're very powerful, and they can to me, I've never been on a dating site, but I don't like the idea that somebody is kind of messing with me a little bit and giving me a bad match.
And then so on purpose, OkCupid was matching up people who normally would be like opposites.
Yeah, well, I think matching up maybe isn't the right word. They were offering suggestions, not necessarily.
Right,
you know, so to
but
basically,
that's how you match somebody is first by offering the suggestion. One of my kids, I don't know which one, has actually dated somebody from that site.
Yeah,
from being.
I hope it wasn't our 14-year-old.
No, it wasn't the 14-year-old, but it was either Natalie or Michael. Don't remember which one.
Well, those sites, I mean, you know, not to trash OkCupid. I mean, it's a very successful site. And what he said, and to me, this sort of reveals a little bit of the mentality of these very high-tech companies. The whole idea was to make it better. He said the only way to see if it's working is to test it out. And by offering, you know, suggestions and seeing if
yeah, but
if
you know what? I'm sorry. I don't go with that because that's why you use paid focus groups.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you don't just experiment on on people.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think what they found out was that people didn't click on those matches, and so that was their test. It was if they had said, okay, we're going to suggest the wrong ones, and people started clicking on them, then I think what the CEO would say is, well, we need to go back and fix the algorithm. But I agree with you. I mean, to me, it's the same thing with Facebook. Does anybody get hurt if they show you bad news on purpose to see how you react? No, but nobody likes to be manipulated.
And, exactly. It's about manipulation.
Talk a little bit about GoGo InFlight and what they're doing, John.
Well, you know, GoGo is an interesting company. Everybody who flies is kind of familiar with GoGo. They provide in-flight Wi-Fi. And to me, we had a Q&A with the CTO, and it was just an interesting look at a Chicago company. A lot of people don't realize it's a Chicago company because they're based out in the suburbs. But they're really kind of in a race to, you know, we all kind of know that eventually, you know, the airplane's going to be like Starbucks. You'll just be able to log on and get your Wi-Fi. But, you know, the technology, it's a huge technology challenge. They've gone from you know, land-based antennas, and now the government is talking about opening up bandwidth. But what a lot of people on planes want to use the internet to stream video, right? Because you're stuck in a plane for a couple hours. That's right. The thing. That's the killer, because it just sucks up all the bandwidth, and they have to restrict that now. But, you know, it's definitely on a trajectory to sort of solve those technology problems and get it to the point where when we go on a plane, we'll basically have Wi-Fi access.
Yeah, it's not a question of if, but just when.
Yeah, for sure.
John Carpenter, Tribune Blue Sky Innovation. Thanks, John. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, John.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch with Bob Sirott and Marianne Murciano on 720 WGN.
Time for our Friday visit. We call Stepping Into Business Class Johnny Jett, the proprietor of the very comprehensive website. JohnnyJett.com is standing by from somewhere in the world. Hi, Johnny.
Hi, Johnny.
How you guys doing?
Oh, you sound far away, Johnny, which could be good news for you.
I am. I'm a waterways river cruise. I'm currently in Belgrade, Serbia.
You're kidding.
You're on a river cruise. You're on a boat, on a ship, on a raft right now.
Oh yeah. So, you know, European river cruises are hot. All the big players are just keep adding ships. I'm a waterways, which is one of the big players. I'm going to be on UniWorld in a couple of days, and I've been on Scenic, I've been on Viking. I mean, this is just a way, it's a great way to see Europe, first of all. Especially what I love about river cruises is that, you know, you have to worry about them sinking. If they do, they tell you, just go grab a drink, go to the top deck, and wait for someone to rescue you, because the rivers aren't deep.
Oh, I see. Wait, so which river cruise do you like most?
You know, I haven't done them all. I've done a few. They're all different. So I like this one a lot. I like them all. I did the Christmas market tour once, which was amazing with Viking. So if you like Christmas, that's definitely one I'd recommend.
Christmas?
Yeah, you go to all the Christmas markets in Germany, Austria, Slovakia.
How fun!
On the JohnnyJett.com site, you've got a good travel tip today. Ask about the hotel pillows when you're on vacation. Explain this, Johnny.
Well, I was just in Houston, I was in Fort Worth a couple weeks ago, and one of my pillows wasn't that great. And then when I got home, I was writing about this hotel, and I decided to do some research, and I noticed that, you know, I could have swapped out. They offer three different types of pillows. So if you're not happy with your hotel pillow, always call down to the front desk and say, by the way, do you have different types of pillows? And now most of them do, especially the good hotels. I mean, they all do it, the good hotels.
And do they offer, like, down pillows? That's my issue always. I don't like the synthetic ones. I want a real down one because it's not as fluffy as everything else. Do they have those available?
It all depends on the hotel. You know, if you're at a motel, they're not going to have it.
Of course.
But at a nice hotel, they definitely should. And they'll have ones that are not allergic, you know, people aren't allergic to. So.
That's in the contract rider when Marianne and I appear somewhere in concert. Marianne must have a down pillow.
You need green M&Ms.
Yeah. In the news here this week, let me read this story to you, Johnny. In the rush to catch their flights, travelers left behind 21,000 $21,000 worth of change going through security at O'Hare. At Midway, the figure was a little more than $9,000. Well, and I guess they keep that change, and it's supposed to go to the unclaimed money is supposed to be spent on security. But you have a trick for not forgetting anything after you go through security, Johnny?
Who left the change? The TSA?
No, the passengers. Passengers. Yeah, just people going through the line.
I got it. Oh yeah. Well, you know, my tip for going through security. First of all, you should have TSA pre-check. So that way you don't have to take off your shoes, your jacket, or anything like that. But if you do carry change, which I don't know too many people do these days, because I pretty much charge everything on a credit card. But, you put your change in your pocket. Put it in your coat pocket. Take your coat off. And you put everything, your keys, your cell phone. And that way you won't forget it. And zip it up. Or put it in your bag. And if it's hot out, just put it in your carry-on bag. Zip it up. I don't know why people can't figure that out.
Yeah, I don't know why either.
When I go through these security, I see all the time people are putting their watches in, putting their wallet right there, and they don't watch the bin go through. Always keep your eyes on the bin because it is so easy to steal, and that happens a lot. So, again, make sure you push your bin through. Wait to go through the metal detector until your bin goes through the radar or whatever, and then grab it. And if you get pulled over for secondary, always keep your eyes on the bin.
Okay, so I want to know about that because I always wonder: does that happen a lot that people steal your stuff? Because so many times it's impossible to keep your eye on the bin because there's a line of people waiting to go through after you've already dropped your stuff into the belt. So,
right.
Does that really happen a lot? And are these TSA
sure.
officers on the other side, do they ever help you get your stuff back from somebody who's stolen it?
Well, they have no idea. They're not looking to see whose bin is who. So what you need to do, put all the valuables in your carry-on bag and don't leave it in the bin or put it in your coat pocket and zip it. And that way, it's a lot safer. But even then, someone could just walk off with their jacket or just reach in. But I see people putting their Rolex watches in the bin, and they're not even around. I could easily grab it. I'm like, then I tell them, I said, by the way, you really should be careful. And they look at me like I'm crazy. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to help you.
Johnny, there was a report recently on frequent flyer programs, a poll, and Southwest Airlines came out on top. Among U.S. airlines, their Rapid Rewards program got most of the votes in the survey of 1,500 flyers. Generally, large airlines did best. You like the Southwest program?
I'm not a big fan of it. I mean, big reason why is because I don't fly them that often. But, I'm a fan of American Airlines right now since they haven't gone to the dark side like Delta and United did.
The dark side?
Before, you'd get a mile for every mile you flew, and now they're giving you a mile for every dollar you spend. So a $200 ticket, is only going to get you, I think they times it by five, you get 1,000 miles. But if you're flying New York to L.A. for a $200 ticket, you'd get 2,500 miles. So it all depends. So right now, American hasn't followed those guys. I hope they don't. So I've been giving all my business to American and their partners like British Airways. That's what I flew over here to Europe. And, my miles are just racking up because these guys offer the best.
All right. So we're going to take a look at your site. And one of the things that I've seen is this travel wallet that you are talking about, the travel product of the week. And I love the idea that everything is in one place.
Yeah, it's by Bellroy. And I never heard of it. One of my friends turned me on to it. But what I love about it, it's real sleek. It's kind of masculine. They say it's unisex. But it holds your passport, your credit cards, all different currencies, even your plane tickets. So I love it. I don't really carry wallets. But when I do, I put this in my bag. I mean, and by the way, if you do carry your wallet, make sure you don't put it in your back pocket, which I see a lot of people doing here in Europe, a lot of Americans. They put it in their back pocket. It's so easy to pickpocket. Especially in the tourist destinations where a lot of these Americans are going. Always keep it in your front pocket.
More on all of that on the site, johnnyjet.com. There he goes, floating down the river in Belgrade. Remember, Johnny, keep your eyes on the bin.
I'm going to. Don't you worry.
Talk to you next week.
Thanks, Johnny.
See ya.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Market metrics and the latest headlines. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN.
Let's get to the business of social media with Scott Kleinberg, who appears in the Tribune. The column is So Social.
Hello.
Hi, Scott. Hi, the Tribune website exploded with this Chipotle story. Tell us about this.
So if walking down the street to get a burrito is too much of your day, you can now have your Chipotle delivered to you. And this apparently excited the internet in ways that we knew was possible, but we haven't seen in a long time.
I guess the company is launching a delivery service in 67 cities, including Chicago. 11 Chicago locations are
correct
on the list, and they're all like downtown and in the loop, aren't they?
Yes, yes, they're pretty close, but there are some suburban ones as well, but those are the ones that are downtown. There's 11 of them.
And so what does it cost to get it delivered?
So this is the crazy thing. It was reported by Recode, which is based in New York, and their $8.27 burrito became $20.26 after factoring in the $11.25 delivery fee and the 74-cent service fee.
Okay, so this is everywhere?
Yeah.
I mean, everywhere it's that expensive to get it delivered?
Yeah, it seems like you're definitely paying the premium. If you thought the guacamole was expensive, this is definitely a lot more expensive.
And so are they using drones or something?
No. As far as I know, there are people. I would assume if it was a drone, it would cost much more.
But, and boy, drones are in the news, and we're going to have someone in here who's got a Chicago area company, and they're going to fly drones around the studio today. And, of course, that terrible news yesterday about the drone strike gone amok. And you've got a story, Scott, about Amazon and drones, right? Now we've heard about this in the past. What's new here?
We've heard about this, but this is a little bit different. Instead of delivery by drone, this is in Germany where they are actually delivering to your car trunk. So if, I guess there are some places where drones may be frowned upon or they just, you know, may not work out, but this is a partnership with DHL where you use a special app and you give them the ability to access your trunk for a certain period of time, and they will deliver your Amazon item. They will put it in your trunk, they will close your trunk, and then it will expire, and then they will no longer have access to the trunk.
Wait, how do they get access to the trunk in the first place? I mean,
It's like a special thing that's being worked through by Audi. So it's like an entirely special thing that makes this app function and work and open your trunk.
Here's what I don't understand, and Marianne gets a package from Amazon every day, I think.
Yes,
but
I do.
People are generally happy with their quick, efficient delivery.
Yep.
Why are they going out of their way to figure out new ways to deliver?
Well, they want delivery in the same day. Now.
Yes, delivery in the same
goal.
Day.
Is that it? Is that what this is all about?
And that's been happening in cities like New York. I mean, that happens where you can like order one part of the day and get it in another part of the day. But sometimes I think that they just want to do it just to be able to say that they can. Because you're right. I mean, you know, you get one day shipping, you get same day shipping, and then you have somebody who actually puts it in your trunk so you don't have to, which is
okay.
Crazy.
Well, I wish I had that app today in that car today because we need to get a birthday present. And we have like a half hour to get it after work before run out of time.
Go to Germany.
The same day.
Go to Germany.
And maybe they'll deliver the burrito waiting.
Burrito too.
Put it all in the trunk. talk about this survey that had to do with emojis, Scott.
I like this. So there's a popular keyboard app called SwiftKey, which is like one of those additional keyboards you can put on your iPhone. And they went ahead and they did a research on how we use emojis specifically in the United States and around the world. And they found out that French and Russian speakers, they think about love when they think about emojis. They use hearts, they use smiley faces, they, you know, those types of things. Americans lead in the most random emojis. So all the other ones that you see that really have no actual place, like aliens and cake, that's the ones that Americans tend to use the most. But they also did this pie chart, and it shows that smiley faces had 45% of all emoji. And then sad faces were followed by that, then hearts, and then monkeys 1.7% of people really like to use monkeys.
I'm going
to
start using
it. I've never used a monkey either.
I've never used a monkey. No one has ever used a monkey on me.
I'm going to use. I don't use any emojis, but starting this weekend, I'm going to use monkeys.
I was going to say, there's your first one.
there is a quiet test going on from Facebook. What are they doing exactly, Scott?
Well, they're doing this thing with their notifications tab. So you know when you click on the little globe at the top and you see what people have done recently under that globe. Now they're doing this test where they're going to have like layers of different things. So the birthdays that are coming up, or friends that are nearby, or life events, or things that happened years ago.
It's getting too complicated to use Facebook. I mean, by the time that you figure out what their new layout is, I don't even know what you're talking about. The globe.
I
don't even know what that is.
The little thing in the upper right that has the number on it that tells you how many things you've received since the last time you were on you're on Facebook.
Right.
And I agree with you. It's really, really hard to keep up. But I've seen screen grabs of what this looks like, and I actually like it because the whole screen that they have now where you have to click to see the birthday and backspace and then go back to the next thing, this is all in one place. The trending topics are under there, what people are talking about. You know, events that are coming up. So if they roll that out to everybody, which is never a guarantee, if they do, it could be potentially very useful.
And finally, if you have an Android, this will help you out on Twitter, won't it?
Yeah, this is really great. So this basically says you haven't been on Twitter in 12 hours. Here's what you might have missed. The one part that I don't like about that is it has the potential to surface tweets that are older. And you know, people sharing older tweets don't always make sense. But in this case, this is assuming the most popular tweets that people are seeing in their feeds that you might have missed. Somebody that I know sent me one this morning from their Android phone. It said that I was the most popular tweet in his feed that I missed in the past 12 hours. It has a picture of me, shows my tweet, has a link and says, follow this person, find out more about this topic. So to me, that's extremely useful. It's interesting that they deployed it on Android first. Usually they do iPhone first, then Android, but they're trying it this way. And I'm sure that will roll out to other people too.
Yeah, because that's the thing about tweets. You've got to be constantly looking at it, or you're going to miss a lot.
And that's just the thing. And I think Twitter thinks that there's a longer shelf life for tweets than most people do. I'm like you. I think, you know, once an hour goes by and it's over, I'm looking for something new because
absolutely.
Then it's kind of old already.
Yeah, rarely are you going back.
Yeah.
That's it. Scott Kleinberg, So Social, is a column in the Tribune. Thank you, Scott. Talk to you next week.
Scott.
Thank you both.
More on the Wintrust Business Lunch coming up on 720 WGN.
Let's get to the entertainment business right now. Don't you hate it when someone great is in town, there's a concert, and you didn't know about it? That's why a couple times a month we like to check in with Front Row Phyllis from frontrowphyllis.com, and she lets us know what's happening and what's going to happen. How you doing, Phyllis?
Hi, how are
Hi
you?
There.
What are we waiting for? What's up? What are the big shows?
Yeah, what don't we want to miss?
Well, you know what? First off, we don't want to miss something for the kids. And that's Sesame Street.
Oh.
So we got Sesame Street live over at the Star Plaza in Hammond.
Oh, that's this weekend, isn't it?
It is this weekend. It actually started yesterday, and it runs through Sunday. And it's really fun. You know how when they're so young, there's nothing to do.
Right.
You can't find anything. Well, this is a great show. It's also, all the characters are going to be there. Not all, but most of them, from Bert and Ernie to, you know, Big Bird. And they're all going to come down off the stage, and they dance with some of the audience. So that's pretty fun.
And let's see, May 4 and 5, that's coming up fast. Big show at the Chicago Theater. Two big shows, huh?
Yeah, two big shows. So it's actually, it's actually May 5th and 6th. May 5th is actually sold out, and this is for Crosby, Stills, and Nash will be here at the Chicago Theater. And tickets are still available for the 6th. You know, it's hard to believe that it's been 4 decades since they actually hit the stage at Woodstock.
And they still don't speak to each other.
Right. They don't. Well, you know, they just have to do it in song.
Separate buses.
Exactly.
This morning I heard Steve Cochran and Spike Odell talking about the show Nashville. Of course, they were doing the show from Nashville. We don't like the Predators, but we like the city. And the cast is coming to Rosemont.
The cast is coming to Rosemont, and that is on May 5th. And it's actually one of my favorite shows. And so it gives a chance for the audience to actually see their favorite stars from TV up close and personal, and they get a chance to sing, and it's a fun show. So that's over at Rosemont on May 5th.
And then there's Marianne's high school buddy, right, coming in.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yes. We're so excited about On Your Feet, Gloria Estefan's show. It's Gloria, the life story of Gloria and Emilio.
Yes, it's their rags to riches story. So before there was Jay-Z and Beyonce,
yes,
there it was Gloria and Emilio. Yeah. And it's actually, they're great. And they put it to a jukebox musical. So it should be great. And that was a short run. It runs from June 2nd through July 5th. And that's over at the Oriental Theater.
Yeah, and the reason it's a short run is because they already have the marquee up in New York City, because it's going to New York. It's going on Broadway.
It is. Yeah. It's going on Broadway, but it's hitting here first.
It's hitting here first,
which is pretty remarkable.
I want to see them here, and I want to see them in New York, because I'm sure there will be some tweaking, some changes that will take place.
I think so, too. I think you need to get them into the studio.
Oh, yeah. We're going to do that.
We got to work on that.
High school buddies will be hanging out. You can
exactly.
Be sure. And then there's Kinky Boots.
There is. Kinky Boots is back. It's only here for a couple weeks, and that's over at the Cadillac Palace. That is from July 7th through July 26th.
And I didn't know that. This is why I love the service that you provide. Because I was in New York recently, and I saw Kinky Boots, and all I could think of was, I need to take my kids to see Kinky Boots, although there are a lot of inappropriate things in it, but
it's such a great show, and I wouldn't even know
that that was happening if I wasn't looking up, you know, Broadway in Chicago or the Cadillac Theater just to see. You know, I love that you just bring it all on.
Oh, thank you. That's so, well, it's great, and it also goes on sale. Tickets go on sale, so you know, on Friday, May 8th. So, and it's a great show. You saw, it's really fun.
So fun.
Yeah.
It's not summer without some incarnation of the Beach Boys touring. And what are they going to be doing, where and when?
This is a great show. So picture the beautiful skyline behind you, and you're standing on the beach. And that's going to be over at Montrose Beach on June 26th. And it's the only show that both groups, so it's Beach Boys and Kool & the Gang. So that's going to be really fun.
Montrose Beach. Have they done shows there before?
Yeah.
Where do people sit?
On the beach.
Just on the beach.
No. I mean, there are, you know, they have seats set up. They actually kind of transform the beach.
Oh, that's
an area
awesome.
On the beach. And it's actually really fun. Last year, you know, last year was the one of the first years that Boston was here. And they did that show. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the weather was not so great, but
maybe a warm up by June 26th.
I think they'll be perfect by
then. And give us the website again to find out more about these shows and tickets and ticket information.
Yep, just go to frontrowphyllis.com.
Great. And by the way, that Sesame Street show at the Star Plaza in Merrillville, Indiana. Thank you, Phyllis.
Thank you.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch with Bob Sirott and Marianne Murciano on 720 WGN.